Every year when we have graduates, we always like to present a Schofield Bible to that graduate. And this year we have one, actually two. Jordan Miller, who is down in Perryville, cannot be here, but we have a Bible for him. And we don't have anybody in the local congregation this year, but we do have a local congregation, Dorito. It's your Dorito, but you're also a member of the congregation. We count you as that. You come to one of our board meetings, you get to vote.
We vote for you. Not.
He votes for a lot of people.
At a price.
Yeah. This money-making project. Well, I consulted Siri about this, and she said that Jenny was here and that we would be able to do this. Now, Jenny, come up here, baby. I want people to see you. She's grown up since you last saw her. And stunning, don't you think? I do like the necklace.
Thank you.
Where did you get that?
Target.
Went all the way to Hawaii to buy something from Target.
Actually, I bought it here.
Did you?
Yes.
You came all the way to Missouri to buy something. Well, you're familiar, I guess, with your sister's Bible that you got at Schofield today. Mm-hmm. Do you know why Pastor Griffin likes to give these away? Well, it's okay if you don't know, because I'm going to tell them anyhow.
Okay.
Well, when I was first learning Scripture and I had just been turned on to actual serious study, I decided that I needed a good Bible. And most of the people know this, but I bet you don't. Just raise your hand if it... I had a lady, she was way older than me, but probably about my age now. And she was teaching Bible studies to us, and I told her I needed a Bible, and what would she recommend? She said, oh, you need a Schofield Bible with all the footnotes, and you can really learn a lot quickly with his footnotes. I said, wow. I said, where'd I go to get one of those? She said, you have to go up to Montgomery. The Alabama Bible Society has them, and you see Mrs. Whoever, and she'll make sure you get one. So I drove up there, and I walked in the door, and this nice lady said, can I help you? I said, yes, ma'am. Ms. Singleton told me I could get me one of those Sheffield Bibles here. And she was very nice to me. She looked at me with just a real pregnant pause and said, I think I can help you. And so she goes and pulls one of these off the shelf. And this is one of those. And I'll just flip it open here. You see those footnotes there?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not asking to read them. I just want to see them.
Sure.
Well, I found out that if you use the footnotes as you go through a passage, just stop and go to the footnote. There are chain references in the margins. You know what a chain reference is? You have to read the front of the book to find out. This is you are an intelligent person going to some school up in the north, aren't you?
Yes.
Where is this?
Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Okay, this is your first test. Who is Bart Starr? Okay, look. I don't think it's advisable for you to go to Green Bay and be with those people up there, and they mention Bart Starr, and you have a blank expression. That's not going to go well for you. It's not going well for you right now, as a matter of fact. At any rate, that's what this is, a Schofield Bible. Now, Jenny, you are a smart girl. What's the name of the school you're going to?
St. Albert.
St. Albert's?
Norbert.
Norbert.
Yes.
Okay. And that's in Green Bay.
Yes.
And you live in Hawaii. Are you familiar with the winters in Green Bay?
Yes, I am.
Do you like to be cold?
I do.
Great. You made a great decision. So I want you to have this. It's got your name on the front. It says Virginia R. Turner.
Yes.
Your middle name is like Rachel.
Yes.
Okay, we didn't put that part in.
Sure.
Okay. And in here, I've said a little something. So, frontispiece, what you call that. To Virginia Turner, on the occasion of your graduation from Admiral Arthur W. Radford High School at Honolulu, Hawaii, presented in the name of Grace Doctrine Church of St. Charles, Missouri, Wincit Omnia Veritas. Do you know what that means?
No.
See, that you went to Admiral Arthur. What did she say?
She said, "Make Mama proud."
Well, I can see there's some boning up you need to do. And so I'm going to give this to you, and I want promise me, hands up, that you're going to read the footnotes.
Okay.
Good girl. That is Jenny Turner, and congratulations on your graduation. You bet. Thanks, Tim. Oh, by the way, you also get a box. Sure.
Almighty Father, we humbly come to you in prayer and petition for our church, Grace Doctrine Church, and its member body. We pray that we will continue to be motivated to seek truth and apply it in our daily lives. And we pray that you will guide us in our decision-making process for each of the entities that are important to run this local body, the Board of Deacons, so that they continue to seek truth in their decision-making process, the departments of music, properties, hospitality, and Eucharist. We also come to you, Father, and pray for our prep school. First and foremost, we pray for the preparation of the students, that their minds may be attentive to the lessons being taught, that their home may be structured so that they are continuing to get your truth and be motivated to take it in while under the guidance of the prep school senior teachers and junior and nursery assistants. We pray for their continued motivation and for their ability to be prepared and motivate the children to learn. We also come to you, Father, and pray for Joe Griffin Media Ministries. We pray that you will continue to motivate the individuals within the organization to do their duty as unto the Lord in a grace manner in which we'll provide the message of your word to those out of our local body. We pray for the funds to continue to be a source of nourishment for the word to be disseminated. And we pray for each of the individuals that have been motivated to take place and participate. We also come to you, Father, and pray for the thin blue line of protection within our communities, the police officers, both on a local basis as well as homeland security. They are under tremendous pressure, and we pray that they may be exposed first and foremost to the gospel of Christ, and that they may also seek truth, both in establishment as well as biblical. We pray that you will protect them with a wall of fire as they are under assault, and they truly are a thin blue line for our protection. We also come to you, Father, and pray for the missionaries and ministries throughout the world. First and foremost, that they will continue to promote the gospel of salvation through faith alone in Christ alone. We pray that they will have willing ears to listen to this message, and most importantly of all, that you will provide protection for them and their families. You will provide persistence and motivation and provisions. We also come to you, Father, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122:6 says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure." They are a sovereign nation by your will, and we pray, Father, that they will be protected and that you will thwart the enemy and continue to provide this most important wall of fire for your chosen people. We pray that we will continue to harbor the Jew and we will provide a safe haven for them, not only on our political front, but also in each of the believers' minds as they concentrate on what's most important, and that's the Word of God. We ask all of this in Christ's name.
Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for those on the sick list in our bulletin at Grace Doctrine Church. Whether it's illness or injury, we pray that they apply the doctrine in their soul that will provide them encouragement and satisfaction with your divine will. Your loving kindness and instruction is irreplaceable. whether they are riding in the death shadow valley or on the road to physical recovery. We address the subject of our establishment in these United States. And as our pastor has pointed out, we are in a pickle. We're well down the road to progressivism, and our Christian tenets are more and more at cross purposes with leftist statist doctrine. It is possible in the future that a Christian could become an enemy of the state. We are fast becoming unwelcome in this nation. If it be your will, Heavenly Father, that our Lord Jesus Christ personally step in with a divine intervention, it would help immeasurably. But if this is not your will, protect, encourage, and provide for your royal family. Allow us to advance in your perfect plan by safeguarding our freedom to worship. In reference to those in positions of authority in the three branches of our local, state, and federal governments, if it be your will, deal with them through your infinite omniscience and justice to correct this pox upon our nation. The ropes of bondage are now in sight. The clanking chains grow ever louder. Too many cannot see. Too many refuse to hear. We must either follow our Lord or ride with the devil. We turn our attention to the military, and we pray for the airmen, sailors, Marines, and soldiers who stand at the ready. Although all have sworn to defend the Constitution, when required to enter into the harm's way, they must march. They march under the direction of civilian authority, and this is as it should be. But it is a very good reason to approach your throne room with petition. We ask that your compassion watches over these service members. Their hard work, professionalism, dedication, and sacrifice guard our liberties. On occasion, circumstances extract the ultimate price. It is our desire that all in uniform will believe in Christ and his work on the cross as he willingly experienced spiritual death out of his love for us. We mention in name those in active duty associated with Grace Doctrine Church: Debbie Danlick, David Heron, Ryan Johnson, Caleb Kerr, Greg McMakins, Everett Probasco, Tyler Risty, Brett Turner, Sean Wojciechowski, and in civilian support, Skip Collins, Mark Davey, Paul Davey, and Bill Hoskins. Thank you for their service to the country. And although Scripture has told us there will be wars and rumors of war until Jesus returns, in the meantime, we must jealously guard our freedoms. Historically, we have slept soundly each night because rough men have stood ready to visit violence on those who would do us harm. Heavenly Father, we pray for our pastor. We pray for his shepherding of this local church. He is the captain of our ship as it sails through this devil's world. As we weather storms of the cosmos, we depend on his presentation of the mind of Christ, navigating the perils of the devil's world. We pray for his health and his well-being, using his God-given talents as he instructs we sheep of this congregation. We ask you to watch over Johanna, Shannon, Chris, Ryan, Andy, Shane, and Schaefer for their benefit, while shielding our pastor from potential distractions. We are thankful for our pastor's special purpose, his zeal, his wisdom, and his steadfastness as he teaches your word. And now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and who will present us faultless before your glorious presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore.
While they're getting settled, I would like to recognize a member of our armed forces that's here today. That's Brett Turner. Well, come on, let's go. Brett still is in the United States Army. He's a colonel. And I'm sure that I asked him if he was going to be a general at some point, and he, for some reason, he didn't think it was a good idea. I don't either. because he's top man on the totem pole now, but when you get to be a general, then he's at the bottom. So who wants to do that? So I think he likes it where he is. Where are you going to move, by the way? Aren't you going to move from Hawaii? That's the way it is in Army, right? Know where you're going to go. Well, let's pause for a few moments of silent prayer. Rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Our Father, as we continue this study, it is our prayer the Holy Spirit would inform and instruct us regarding the study, and we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. I have an announcement. There will be no Bible class this midweek. Parking lot will be closed for sealing. Parking lot's in a bad shape, we're told, so that's being addressed this midweek. And also give you new stripes. Those of you who can't see the stripes, that's because they're not there anymore. And they will put new stripes in. So this midweek is for sealing and striping. Now, we had to stop because we ran out of time. But what I had done is I'd gotten through that area of our study that I wanted to wrap up in 1 hour's lesson. So we were able to do that. And last few points that we noted, I'll read you back into where we are and then continue. We noted that client nation arrogance is characterized by social degeneration, economic depression, military disaster, and the apostasy of believers in the shrinking of the pivot. This is something that is evident because we can read historical trends. Politically, this arrogance is reflected by bureaucracy and government rather than leadership and integrity. And our Constitution demands from its people integrity, honor, a sense of justice from a maximum number of its citizens, and we are lacking that as well. So arrogance destroys consensus, neutralizes integrity, caters to privileged groups, and demands equality at the expense of everyone else's freedom. So these are the trends that we presently have going. Now, you understand the principle of reading historical trends, and when those trends go against the freedom of a people, then you can see that there's corruption from on high that is permitted by the lack of thought of those in the electorate. Everything starts with the thinking of the people. Degeneration in a society begins with a loss of thought in the souls of people. So as biblical truth is rejected and human viewpoint is amplified, then the result is going to be a peeling off of what we might call establishment thought within the commonwealth. And, of course, the lack of biblical truth in the souls of those who should have it among the pivot. So arrogance destroys consensus, neutralizes integrity, caters to privileged groups, and demands equality at the expense of everyone else's freedom. And with the loss of thought contained in Scripture, even believers join in the demise of the freedom that protects their liberty of free exercise. Free exercise is a very important concept in our Constitution. It's a part of the First Amendment. It's one of the religion clauses. You have the Establishment Clause and the Free Exercise Clause. And therefore, the government can't establish a religion. In other words, in England, they often did this. It's one of the reasons that people came here to get away from that, because they didn't like what was going on in that regard. So they established a new country over here. That is the establishment concept that's in the First Amendment. Then there's free exercise. If you're not going to establish a particular and certain faith, religion is the term that's used. If you're not going to do that, then you're going to allow anyone to exercise their individual faith in a way that they feel led. Therefore, we have a multiplicity of types of churches in this country. Most are of Protestant derivation, but there are different foundational beliefs for each of these. There's a thing across the way here. We're just not quite sure what it is that they believe, but they're free exercising, and we're good with that. They let us free exercise, and so all is well. There are quite a number of churches around this town, as you well know, of different stripes. They're free exercising. So my mission in the 30 years I've been here, and by the way, this month is the 7th year anniversary of this church, the building, and been here over 30, and I've tried to get across to you what our theology is and how other belief systems differ from ours, and to point out when that deviation does not line up with the Word of God. This is not saying that these people shouldn't do that, that they are free to go wherever they want to go and free exercise. This is a good thing. And we just have to draw lines somewhere so you will understand where things ought to be biblically. Now, I've experienced in my time here that people that come here, very few start out cold turkey with a Bible-based church. They come from other denominations or from other religions, for example, Catholicism. And so if you're trained in these other areas as children, then that is what you believe, because children will believe what you tell them. And they are tabula rasa. They don't have anything in their souls when they're born. Try to carry on a conversation. Go back to our nursery, wherever it's located now. Try to talk to these people. They just drool. I mean, they have no concept of what's going on around them. And so you can pretty soon establish that they have no thought. And if they have no thought, then somebody's got to put it there. So that would be parents. And then the parents would take them to a church of some description and put them in a Sunday school deal. And then those people would teach them things having to do with what they would say would be theology. And they would learn them. And then they would hit adulthood. That's their inventory of ideas. And then they get the notion to come here. Well, I've got to identify, look, you were taught this, and we don't teach that here, and here's why. But it's okay with me that you went there, your parents took you, you had no choice, and that's that. But so you have to draw lines on the subject of theology. But the fact that people are doing these things is, you know, that's free exercise, and we're good with it. So as we go through these points here, though, what we are trying to amplify is that wherever a person matriculates in a church, they have to develop an inventory of ideas that is honorable to the Word of God, and that God will sanctify that. He will promote this, and He will provide great blessings for those who learn His Word and follow it. That means execution of what they learn. And the more people that do that, the more blessings come to all members of a client nation. That's blessing by association. Now, when that pivot, as we would define it, when that large body of positive, forward-moving believers begins to shrink, then when the pivot shrinks, then you're in an historical downtrend. And the downtrend is going to take you to disaster because God will not honor that. And the Jews have suffered the fifth cycle on 3 different occasions. And we showed that in a visual just the other day. So if that's true, if He'll do that to His chosen people because they lost the thought, He certainly would do it to us Gentile peoples. So what we're looking at is client nation arrogance. Why are we where we are? It takes arrogance in the soul of people to destroy a nation and to do it without firing a shot. So buying into human good and evil programs erroneously defined as good works, believers become involved in activism, crusader arrogance, civil disobedience, violence, and sedition. And so we've had a lot of that lately in our varied communities around here. It's serving no good purpose. Destruction of property is evil. This does not promote, let's call it, welfare and harmony among the people. But nevertheless, the Bible warns against it, but people don't know the regulation, and so they get off track. So these behaviors are in direct opposition to the directives of Scripture, such as honor the king. For us, it would be establishment structure. 1 Peter 2:17. The next one, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. That's Romans 3:1. And finally, be subject to rulers, to authorities. Titus 3:1. Okay, there's imperative moods here. Now, do you want to be in subjection to this crowd that's running our show now? You do not want to. A lot of things you don't want to do that you have to do. So we have to submit ourselves to the authority. Now, you get to vote, whatever good that does, but you do have that available to you. It's local, it's state, and it's national. But we've gone through the process of how within our society we have delegated, actually arrogated power to people who don't really have it under our system of government. But nevertheless, that's going on, and that shows historical decline. So that's that. Our job is to remember we're in a heavenly polytuma, and polytuma has to do with the society that exists in the afterlife. And so God has a system of government. It's called the polytuma. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, you become a citizen of the heavenly polytuma. And that's where your citizenship lies. Therefore, after you believe in Christ, that's where you reference. You reference through Scripture to the heavenly polytuma. But in the meantime, God leaves you here to do His duty in the devil's world. And so while here, you must submit to the authorities that are established here. There's some exceptions that we'll go through, but nevertheless, that's the general idea. You say, well, these people are bad, they're wrong. Listen to me, none of them are Tiberius. And Jesus Christ never said one thing in opposition to Tiberius. Render unto Tiberius the things that are Tiberius's, and render unto God the things that are God's. That's human government, divine government. Serve both. And therefore, Tiberius had nothing to do, Nero had nothing to do, etc. There were several emperors during his lifetime, and that of the apostles. And so they rarely had anything to say. And the guys up in Rome, Nero in particular, assassinated Paul. He gave a heads up on the Islamic crowd. He cut Paul's head off. Anybody say anything against this? Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render unto God the things that are His. That's the polytuma, and that's earthly government. So I know you didn't like those verses, but let's look at 1 Peter 2:13 and 14. Submit yourselves to the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. You know, Jesus Christ had a lot to say in the Gospels. And one of the things he was pushing was peace and love. And those two words have been taken by some theologians to promote a socialistic concept. Those words have to be put in the context of the heavenly polytuma. You are in a hostile environment, and you're not wanted here. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You have the Bible as your guidepost, and therefore that is what you follow. But that is a procedure that the dark side does not like, and they want to suppress that. How do you defend yourselves? You let God do that. The only offensive weapon you have is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything else is defense. And one thing you do not get involved in is trying to correct the problems of the devil's world. You cannot do that, especially in the historical downtrend. So you can forget that. If things get completely out of hand, establishment will use its authority to use police force, or they'll use the military or something similar to quell these problems. And that's their job to do, not yours. So you don't mount up and ride. You let the Lord handle it. And so when people become, let's just say we're going to go straighten this out for the Lord and demonstrate and march and tear up people's buildings and steal their stuff, that's not honorable. There's no rectitude and probity there. So civil disobedience, violence, sedition, none of this is approved by the Scripture. So you have these governors take care of the evildoers. You say, well, they're evildoers too. Hey, it's a historical downtrend. What did Jesus mean when he said peace? That has to do with reconciliation, by the way. No peace. Okay? How do you know peace? Faith alone in Christ alone, you're reconciled to God. How about peace among men? How does that occur? That's among men. You can't control that. The people during the time of the first advent of Christ had no control over what was going on in the Roman Empire. They were subsidiaries called Palestine. And they let the Jews run the show, and they didn't know how to run the show. They didn't know Messiah had arrived. They said, no, we don't think you're the guy. And so he said to some of them, just honor the king, honor these guys. But he would straighten them out. He would go into debate with them. He is the guy that knew how to debate. So peace was maintained in the Roman Empire because they didn't put up with it. And everybody knew that. Why is Jesus executed? Because Pontius Pilate knew that all these people had come in for the Passover. They always come in. The diaspora comes in. There's all these people running around the streets of Jerusalem. And they got the blood up because there's a false Messiah in town and we have to suppress that. So they decided to get violent on it. Pilate sees this and he knows if this breaks out into civil disobedience and it gets back to Rome where Sejanus could report it down to Tiberius, then all hell is going to break loose and I'll lose my job and maybe my life. So, okay, I wash my hands of it, but go ahead and scourge him again and then do what you will. So they crucified him. Things were coming unwound in the devil's world and in that system of government, but what was Pilate doing? He was trying to cover his posterior. I believe the man was possibly saved. But he had no doctrine, and therefore he took the easy way out. To our benefit, as it turned out. So we have peace and love. What is love? I don't have the diagram, I don't think. We can use that. Inside this bubble, there's love. What is love? That's integrity, righteousness, justice, grace, omnipotence. That's love. Integrity, rectitude, probity, dealing with other people in a proper way, having the inventory of ideas to remain calm under pressure and do the right thing, say the right thing, be where you need to be, follow the Word of God as your light. That's love. Love is dealing with the exigencies of the devil's world in a proper, oriented way. That's thoughtfulness for others. So people, I think, have drifted away from these concepts and ideas and they want to do something about what they think is wrong. Look, if you think things are going wrong today, you've got a long list to check off. You don't have time, probably don't have enough life left. When governing authorities become dishonorable, they have exchanged the truth for the lie and gravitate toward tyranny. See who those guys were. I think it was Madison. Madison and Henry seem to have pointed that out, that people are no good. And you can't turn an entire government loose on people without restraining them. There must be constraints on the minds of men who are given authority. And if you don't do that, if you don't hold them down and constrict their power, they will expand that power. And so we saw that if angels were men, we wouldn't need a government. If angels control men, I believe it was phrased, wouldn't need a government because it'd be constrained by the angels, for Pete's sakes. So, hey, won't call down angels. Well, they're here. They're in this room right now. But they're not allowed to delve into our government. Being dishonest, they pilfer the property of those whom they serve. They pass legislation in order to steal from the people by law rather than by the gun. Now this, believers who live inside the bubble and have advanced to the sophisticated spiritual life rest in the care of the one who delivers them from such evil. Stay inside that bubble, you're protected. That is your armory. Get behind the wall. And it's in your soul. And the angels know it. God knows it. Christ knows it. The Holy Spirit knows it. You are protected. And you can't leave this periphery and expect good to come from it. It will not happen. God will not let it happen. It always crashes and burns, and it leads to a worse situation than before. So believers who live inside the bubble and have advanced to the sophisticated spiritual life, that means you have a lot of doctrine in your soul and you can make good decisions from that position of strength. That means you're in the bubble. Therefore, you are at peace in the devil's world. You can relax inside this circle. God will take care of you. You want to know peace? Get inside the bubble. Outside the bubble, there is discord. There are people who are taking advantage. There are people who are evil. They're up to no good. They're not your problem. There is establishment function that is designed to control that. And when, through a loss of thought, it decides not to do that, then that means the pivot has shrunk to the degree that there's a major historical downtrend and we're in the cycles of discipline. So orient to the truth, get in the bubble. That's the best place to be. Jesus Christ controls history on behalf of the pivot. Now, Jesus Christ is the one that is in charge of this entire operation, the Lord of the armies. Yahweh Sabaoth. These angels that are in here today, they're under His aegis. They're here because they're ordered to be here. You say, well, what good are they doing? Well, there's a circumstance inside this room right now to where if you're positive, your volition is free to accept or reject what I'm having to say to you. And I'm giving you biblical support for this. This is a very dangerous time, and it is good for believers to have a place to go where they are at peace and that they can use the power of the bubble here to deal with others. Do it in an honorable way with rectitude and probity. That's what love is managing other people who may not be on the same level that you are. There's no mental attitude sins. You don't get involved in that. You're not getting involved in behaviors that are sinful. You got to stay in here. So when Jesus speaks of peace and love, that's what He's talking about. He's talking to people that He can get to follow Him. And do you know what? He never challenged anybody. Do you recognize that? He never called Tiberius' name. He called him Caesar. Bad guy. Why? He's in the bubble. Stayed there. Never left it. So all these people that talk about peace in our time, there's not going to be peace in our time. There will be wars and rumors of wars until He comes back. Put that down. So how do you get rid of war? You don't. You try to suppress it. And you do that with military power. Military power that is so imposing and overwhelming to the enemy that they will do nothing to make us mad. Under the umbrella of divine protection, advanced believers are to stay the course, unafraid, undaunting, and unshrinking. Believers win the race inside the bubble, not outside it. Therefore, to be a winner, we must understand the dichotomy between those inside the bubble and those involved in civil disobedience and opposition to the authorities. Principles of honor versus dishonor. There's a number of these, so we won't finish them today. First of all, the believer is honorable when he invests maximum time inside the bubble advancing toward maturity. Why do you come to Bible classes, especially one as boring as this? Why do you bore yourself with this? Because the Word of God is alive and powerful, but it's also abstruse to those who do not have the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. You must be interested. You must see the value. You must see the long game. What's going to play out in the future? What's your age right now? No hands. What's your age right now? How much time do you have left? Although you can get hit by a beer truck on the way out of here, I guess, but you know, normal life. I wanted to go out for football. I'd put my head underneath a Jeep at age 10. And my mother had this roadblock in her mind that I could never do anything dangerous again because I would die. Because my head was all tore open and stuff. So I wanted to play football. And she said, well, you may get hurt. My dad's response was, Nona, he could get hit by a beer truck on the way to dancing school. That didn't convince her. But it's true. Some of you may not live through this day. Some of you are going to be old like me. Joe Henry heard something on TV just the other day that they've decided what how old a person must be when they're officially old. Okay? They've done this research, apparently. And they've come to a conclusion that a person who's now officially old is anybody over 74. What? They're chasing me. I go to the cemetery down in Alabama, and they how old was Grandpap when he died? This is Joe Henry's grandfather. They'd been saying how old he was. So we go to the tomb, and they said, hey, go ahead and check for us. See how old Grandpap was when he died. I do the math, and he was 74. He's old, officially, by the way. My point is principles of honor versus dishonor. The power of the pivot not only amplifies one's blessings in a time of historical downtrends, but also it benefits others because by association. The believer is dishonorable when he becomes involved in rejection of duly appointed authority. He resided in Cosmic One's client nation arrogance. That's where he resided. You can't function there, not as a believer. So what we see going on in St. Louis, and people shooting each other, I mean randomly too, just riding down the street, let's shoot that direction, boom. And a little girl doing her homework gets shot and killed in her own home, sitting on her bed. Boom. Random. So, and then they tear up these stores over in Ferguson and elsewhere, burn people's businesses down. For what purpose? They're functioning in cosmic system. They're in hatred. That's cosmic two. That comes next. They're involved in cosmic two hatred, antagonism, violence. No lasting good comes from protest, civil disobedience, or violence. The blind insist they are Simon Pure, but in fact they are Alexander Coppersmith. You don't know who those people are? Footnote number 4. Simon Pure is an idiom for something absolutely genuine. From Susanna St. Lever's comedy, A Bold Stroke for a Wife, which was performed in 1717, Alexander Coppersmith was an antagonist of Paul's teachings when in Ephesus. So a person, blind, they insist they are Simon Pure, but in fact they're really Alexander Coppersmith. They're in opposition to the truth. A person that is Simon Pure lives inside the bubble, while the person that is Alexander Coppersmith lives outside it and acts against the truth. So when you're outside the bubble, you are potentially a person who is going to, at some point, be against the truth. You may have known it, but now you've said, circumstances are such that I don't need to follow that directive anymore. At the time I learned that, the circumstances were not the same as they are now. So you arrogate power to yourself when you don't have it. So Christians involved in violation of divine mandates regarding one's association with establishment authorities are guilty then of client-nation arrogance. And that does not do any good for the client-nation, obviously. If you don't know how to behave, you need to get in Bible class and learn how. You need to learn what words like peace and love mean rather than some, Hallmark card type approach. Peace means that you are inside the bubble and you let God take care of everything. He will do it if you will let Him. You will be isolated from the devil's world by the amount of truth you have in your soul. Therefore, you have discernment with regard to things that enter your life externally, and you can manage that with the Word of God. You do not need to become aggressive. That's what peace means. You are not the sheriff. You are not the guy with the guns. You're the guy behind the wall. The flat line will hold if you can stay inside. That's what people in this town need to get through their heads. And they can't do it. They'll go to church on Sunday and they'll hoop and holler and sing songs. But when it comes to the nut cutting, what are they going to do? When somebody gets hurt, they're going to go out and violate everybody else's privacy and property. That is a contradistinction of good thinking. Yet we have it. So what are we going to do? You're going to get inside this bubble and you're going to stay there. Because nothing you do, you want to ride over to Ferguson and start telling people in the street corner, hey, buddy, you need to be in the bubble. Simon pure believers have a sense of destiny related to virtue, honor, rectitude, and probity in the eyes of God and warrant His protection. That, friends, is the invisible hero. Brett and his ilk are the visible defense against bad guys. But let me tell you this. When the client nation has lost the thought and withdraws people away from active duty for whatever the hackneyed idea might be, you are weakening our ability to defend against a predator nation. What holds the fort happens to be the number of people who are in the national pivot. These angels, Jesus Christ, who controls history, will take care of us. We can preserve this nation if people will get serious about the Word of God and its application. Brett and his buddies can only do so much. They're restrained by a corrupt government. We're not constrained. We have the God of this universe that protects us and this country. Do you want to be involved? That's how you get involved. Alexander Coppersmith believers do not have a personal sense of destiny, but instead contribute to the historical downtrends of a client nation. The bad guys can be believers. The bad guys are those who opt for behavior patterns that are not certified in Scripture, yet they consider themselves heroes for a moment. Separation of church and state gives a believer freedom to grow in grace and function from his divine polytuma, behave as a citizen of heaven, not this world. Now, the divine polytuma. This is a system of government in heaven which is revealed through Bible doctrine. The believer is to orient to his earthly citizenship with guidance from his heavenly citizenship. The heavenly citizenship instructs you on how to deal with human citizenship. You know how to behave. You have biblical rectitude, probity, virtue, and honor. And that makes you a person that's able to love others. Love meaning what? I will treat you fairly. I will treat you with proper dignity. I will reject your thoughts, but that's my privilege. And so there. Can you think on that level? Then you're thinking on the level of the heavenly polytuma while in the hostile environment of the devil's world. That makes you starkly different. And that's how peace in your soul can be communicated to others that may follow, and they will have peace in their soul, and the pivot is enlarged by one guy. We are not directed to overtly confront the earthly polytuma. We are entitled to cherish its privileges and opportunities and warn against its failures and encroachments. We warn against it. Pastors can rail from the pulpit about this. They did it in spades in the early days of our country. Pastors were not restrained as they are today. They'd get up and call a spade a spade. They would call out whoever was in authority, be it a local individual that they felt was a miscarriage of justice involved, state, county, national. You saw some of the quotes that the founders had about the national government. It winks toward tyranny or some concept like that. We are to offer thanksgiving for the former. Read it again. We are entitled to cherish its privileges and opportunities and warn against its failures and encroachments, the earthly polytuma. We are to offer thanksgiving for the former and pray for protection from the latter. And when the latter becomes confrontational, we must resort to biblical guidance for our response. Principle. We are to stand fast and resist requirements that Scripture proclaims as essentials. So we'll conclude with these points here. The principle is we are to stand fast and resist requirements that Scripture proclaims as essentials. Here is your guidepost. Examples of non-essentials. You're not to buck the tiger on this. This is an example. One that we, at least all of us, do on a daily basis. Wear seat belts. There was a guy my dad knew down home who always wore a seat belt. Then Alabama passed a law that you had to wear a seat belt. He never wore one again. I asked him why. He said, I volitionally have worn a seat belt for years, but I will not be told by the state government I have to. He stepped outside the bubble for that. That's what he thought. Secondly, test for toxic emissions. You have to do that. I have a car. I have to go get it tested, and I'm fogging up the atmosphere and causing the world to die. Don't text while driving. That's a law in some states. I don't know how you do that. I can't text while sitting. I try to do this. I can't do this. And I scream at it. And Joanna says, you have to calm down. Turn it sideways. Examples of essentials. Bible study, either by face-to-face instruction or from an electronic contrivance. Submission to divine mandates, both positive for application or negative for restraint. Support of biblically based missions and personal support for the nation of Israel and prayer for the Jewish diaspora. And those are things that are essentials. And when anybody comes to you legally and saying you can't do any of those things, you say, well, I'd love to follow your lead, but before God, I can't. So cuff me now. They stand fast for essentials. Now, the question arises, what are the non-essentials and what are the essentials? That comes from Bible study. So you got to have an inventory to know when to buck the tiger and when not to. Finally, on this page, and we'll quit after this, the freedoms which we enjoy and take advantage of to facilitate our spiritual growth are summarized in the Constitution's Bill of Rights and are noted on the back cover of the book, 40 Proclamations, The Theology of Grace Doctrine Church. I'll read what's back there and we'll say amen. But here's what we have put back there. The foundation of all cultures is a central belief system that unites disparate individuals into a harmonious commonwealth. Although the United States is not a Christian nation, it was founded primarily by Christians who incorporated laws of divine establishment into the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. For Christians, the most sacred right contained in the First Amendment is that of free exercise. Ancillary to it are those freedoms that enable a person to grow in grace so he can become a good soldier for Christ. Freedom of movement facilitates assembly. Freedom of assembly permits church attendance. Freedom of speech allows public exposition of Scripture. Freedom of the press ensures the publication and distribution of the Bible and its teachings. Recognizing the importance of a free people having access to the foundational documents of the Republic, these state papers are a part of this publication. We will resume our study next Sunday morning. We fix the parking lot in the meantime. Father, we thank you for the power of your word, the leadership that it gives us in distinguishing good from evil. May we pursue the mission of becoming individuals in your perfect plan who have the rectitude, the probity, and the honor that comes to us by inculcating your word into our souls. Motivate us toward that objective as we lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. Karish human kai arene, plethun thae in epinosai tu theu, kai iesu tu kuriu himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.